Podcast, back for episode number 2, and we're talking about a 1-0 Carolina Panthers team. Max Henson and Brian Strickland here with you after Carolina's 23-3 victory out in San Francisco. And Brian, I guess I'll ask you, is that pretty much what you expected to see on Sunday?
Certainly what I hoped to see. Pretty dominant performance against a 49ers team that's definitely trying to build something, coming off a tough season. So it's not the toughest opponent on the schedule, but great signs on defense across the board, I think. I know we'll get into more details about that. And, the offense a little bit slower to start, but certainly effective enough.
Well, let's start with that offense, because I think, as we talked about on last week's show, that was the big kind of storyline going into the start of this season, really, was what the offense was going to look like. What was Cam going to look like? And, through that first half especially, there was definitely the rust that we expected to see.
Right.
What do you make of kind of the passing game in general and kind of what we saw on display from Cam and company?
I mean, I'm not going to make too much of it. Of course, we would have loved to see Cam light up the 49ers for 300 yards. You look across the league, I will just say that for a second, a pretty low-scoring week across the board. It's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. Defenses are usually ahead of offenses this time of year. There's that big picture thing. But specific to what the Panthers are able to do, rusty is that word we heard a few times about Cam Newton. Understandable, one drive in the preseason, two passes in the preseason. But, there are positives as well, of course. I mean, once they got going, you see Russell Shepard involved. You saw more people involved, eight receivers targeted, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff out of the backfield. Some of these layups we've talked about Cam taking and the creativity involved in that. And just, Cam has often used the cliche, just find a way to move the chains. But a lot of times it hasn't really looked like that. There's been, more efforts to go downfield, maybe a little bit more. And this time you really saw an effort to figure out ways to move the chains.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. We definitely saw, that soft zone from San Francisco and Carolina, counteracting that with Christian McCaffrey and those layups, getting the ball down, underneath to him, let him do the rest. Those short passes, those are things that we expect to see throughout the season and a big part of this Panthers offense. And now on the flip side of that, people are going to see a wide open Ed Dixon in the end zone, right, and Cam's miss on that throw. And trust me, nobody is more upset with that miss than Cam himself. That's a throw he certainly expects to make, but I'm not surprised we saw those misfires.
Right.
When you're talking about a guy who only had two live game reps throughout the preseason, this is definitely kind of what we expected to see, were some misses.
Yeah.
The timing, rhythm, accuracy are all things that repetition is what's going to help you get to that elite level that's required in this league. And he just didn't have that.
Right.
So, of course, it was almost to be expected to have a few misses in there.
Yeah, and I'll take that miss in a 23-3 victory,
yeah,
so to speak, and I'll point out Ed Dixon was really open. So that in itself, Ed Dixon was really open. That's a good sign.
Right.
Like there were some open guys. There were more opportunities, and yet still it was a comfortable victory. And then, what I didn't see rust from was the offensive line.
Absolutely.
To set things up. That made Cam, get a chance to be comfortable. Not, he didn't have to scramble that much. He had a great scramble when he did. But, again, good signs. Not everything went smooth in week one. It never does, but things that point to better things to come.
Well, first thing I want to say is when Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey come out of a game and they're both disappointed with how they played and the Panthers win by 20,
yeah,
that's a pretty good scenario
it
for
is.
Carolina.
It
I
is.
Mean, imagine what it was going to be like when they walk out of a game and are happy with the way they played. But, Brian, I mean, you nailed it. The offensive line, we got to devote a little bit of time to the men up front, because I thought they, especially on the offensive side of the ball, were the stars.
Yeah.
Those guys did not allow a sack. And I tweeted this during the game. We've talked about all offseason about the skill positions and explosiveness on offense and how creative they're going to be. But really, at the core of all of this, when you talked about what happened last year to Carolina's offense and what needed to happen in 2017, was protecting Cam.
Right.
I mean, that was the big thing. He needed confidence to be able to stand back there in the pocket. He needed to be able to be protected from some of those big hits he took in 2016. I mean, that was what Ron Rivera had said over and over again, just too much punishment on their star quarterback. Well, they did an outstanding job against San Francisco. Obviously, zero sacks is what you want every game. And in the running game as well, I mean, that fourth quarter, to be able to impose their will, control the ball for 8 minutes and 48 seconds, the final 8 minutes and 48 seconds, and salt away that game. Just really, really impressed with the way that group up front started.
Yeah, that's a Ron Rivera theme here we've seen the last, well, I mean, really his whole time here, but you've really heard him nailing home, you know, we need to be physical, we need to be physical the last couple of weeks. You know, anytime it happened in a preseason game, that's what he immediately went to, was I love that physicality. And he had a lot of positive things to talk about along those lines at the end of the game. Obviously, the last half of the fourth quarter was one physically pounding drive. And that is, you know, think about, I hate to bring this up, think about the opener last year. Yeah, that was the Broncos defense, a different beast. But, you know, how many times was Cam Newton on the run? How many times did he take some hits that,
absolutely,
you know, that definitely, you know, could have had an impact going forward on the way things played out? Then you had injuries to the offensive line after that. And then you think back to 2015, you know, the offensive line was pretty much clean, no injuries. Mm-hmm. So we saw, you know, what this unit is capable of at full strength. Really good debut for Matt Khalil on the left side.
Absolutely.
Darrell Williams definitely held his own on the right side. And we know about the strength of the guys in the middle.
Yeah, for me, that's arguably the most encouraging thing about this game. I think the skill position guys and the timing and the perimeter for this offense is going to come. But to see that offensive line do that to start things off, I think is a really good, you know, starting point, something they can build off of. And I think it's just essential for this offense to function the way it's designed to. They need those guys up front to really set the tone and dictate things and keep their quarterback clean. And they absolutely did that against San Francisco. On the flip side of things, San Francisco's quarterback Brian Hoyer did not enjoy the same kind of day that Cam Newton did. As we said in the show last week, he might be picking himself up off the ground a few times. And he certainly did. Four sacks in that first half, I believe, for Carolina. Didn't sack him in the second half, but put a few more hits on him. And it was a rough day all around. And for me, defensively, Brian, from Carolina's standpoint, that's where I look to immediately after this game. It's just that front line, front seven, and the disruption they caused.
Yeah, I mean, the defense kind of spoke for itself. I don't know how much we can add to that performance. Four sacks in the first half. You know, timely defense as well. I mean, you know, it's going to happen, of course. The 49ers had a couple of moments where they started moving forward, and anytime it was fourth down, the defense, you know, bowed its neck and made the stop. And, I mean, it did start with the defensive line, there's no doubt. I mean, everybody among that group was, you know, played great, played dominant at times. You know, we talk about all the time, defensive tackles don't necessarily rack up the stats, but they certainly racked up the game-changing plays as far as, you know, getting the push against a 49ers interior line that was susceptible to this potentially. But we saw good things from the outside as well. And anytime the defensive line does its job, you're going to see Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, Shaq Thompson shine at linebacker, mm-hmm, because it just sets them up perfectly.
Hey, how about this? We talked about this last week. We kind of rattled off the names in that D-line and just how kind of star-studded it was. And then Wes Horton is the guy that comes up with the strip sack. And again, doesn't that kind of just speak to the depth of that group up front? I've forgotten names, or we forgot about him last week, but here he is again, coming up with the big kind of game-changing play, because it seemed like this game was pretty much just going back and forth, evenly played, and then Wes's play kind of started to kick things off for Carolina.
Yeah, it reminded me of in Washington last year. He made, you know, a similar play closer to the goal line against the Redskins to get the Panthers rolling in that game. I mean, specifically to Wes, it's understandable he would be a forgotten guy. Sorry, Wes, given some of that star power we're talking about. When Julius Peppers comes back to Carolina, obviously that's going to grab a few headlines. But it was clear last year when he got another chance and came back with the team, I don't know exactly what clicked, but he was always good against the run, but he started to show that pass rush ability that he did at Southern Cal. He was, you know, he had a bunch of sacks, and you know, he's obviously, you know, developed, and kind of the light has come on for him as a pass rusher.
Do yourselves a favor, if you haven't seen it already, on Panthers.com, there's Sideline Sounds, a special video segment, Eric Washington mic'd up on the sideline against San Francisco game. Watch that and watch Eric Washington's reaction to Wes Horton starting things off for that front. Obviously, it was a great day, but that really started off. And the look on Eric Washington's face, the excitement, trust me, you will not be sorry after you see that. Want to talk about one other guy in the defense before we get to our first guest on the podcast, Luke Kuechly. That is a guy that is not a forgotten name, of course. But he obviously, in the second half, started things off with that interception and kind of got Carolina rolling. And talking to him after the game, this is something I wrote about, just the fact that he hadn't played in a regular season game since week 11 of last year. Yeah. And I think that almost kind of got forgotten and lost in the shuffle of, you know, obviously he was out there in the preseason, but he looked like a guy to me that from start to finish was just ecstatic to be on the football field, and that seemed to me to rub off on everybody around.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you could even see it in the preseason. I mean, he never mails it in, of course, but even in the preseason games, you could tell he was just excited to be out there. And you can imagine in the regular season, and it was kind of forgotten. I mean, you know, Luke talks to the media every Thursday, and before the game, no one asked him about it. I was really surprised. He wouldn't have given much of an answer, as
right.
we know. He would have probably talked about what a great job the training staff did, and the water boy, and all this to get him ready to go and everything. But that was Luke. That's kind of put to rest what happened last year, but for him individually, he's been waiting for this moment to get a chance to play under the lights again. So
yeah, I mean, I asked Thomas Davis about it after the game, and he immediately just lit up, and he even said it. Luke makes a world of difference for that defense. And that seems silly to say. Of course he does. He's one of the best players in the league. But having him back out there for guys like TD and Kirk Coleman and KK Short up front, I mean, just from the communication standpoint, getting everybody lined up, and then just the energy and the confidence he gives that whole group, just knowing you've got 59 orchestrating things in the middle. To me, it's no surprise that he was in the middle of things throughout the game and came up with the play that I thought really kind of put the hammer down for Carolina with that interception.
What do you think about his Geico commercial, as an aside? Have you seen his Geico commercial? I don't get it.
I think Luke stays as a commercial guy. I mean, look, he does his best. His best work is done on the football field.
That's
kind of how I'd put
that. Okay, that's a good description. But, yeah, Geico has these wacky ads. Maybe they're trying to be – like they're going in a different direction with Luke playing it straight. I don't know.
I don't blame anybody for hiring Luke, though, as a pitch man. I mean, come on, who doesn't love Luke Kuechly?
That's a good point.
But on that note, we're going to turn things over to our first guest call-in of our podcast season. We've got Josh Norris from Roto World and NBC Sports. He's an NFL analyst. He's going to be talking to us about that Panthers win over San Francisco. Josh, it's great to have you. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Just in a constant state of catching up. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Look, you are our first official podcast guest. I just want to,
wow.
What kind of honor do you feel like that is?
I hope I get like some type of trophy in the mail. Something like that.
We'll see what Brian
can
commemorate
this memorable day.
How about a certificate? It's easier to mail.
Just like one of those that you print online, just like put your name in.
Yes.
That works.
Well, we'll work on something. But Josh, very excited to talk to you, man. Obviously, you know you're very plugged into all things Carolina Panthers. And we didn't really talk about this guy too much in our first segment, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Christian McCaffrey because obviously you're one of our go-to draft experts. We're talking about him all throughout draft season and why you thought he would be a perfect fit for Carolina. I'm curious really just what you thought of how they used him and how his debut went against San Francisco.
Well, they certainly used him. And it's one of those situations where I'll be very interested to see this past week in comparison to weeks ahead. Now, obviously, we can only go on this tiny, tiny sample size, which is week one. But it seemed like everything they wanted to prove of the offense evolving with this shiny new toy, that they didn't just use him as a simple running back out of the backfield. In fact, we saw him plenty of times line up as an H-back or as a wide receiver. I always go back to that first third down conversion, I believe it was, where both Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel and Jonathan Stewart were all in the field at the same time,
right?
Which is just difficult for defenses to match up. And we saw it that his impact in the game isn't just there when he touches the football, but also of the focus that he draws from defensive coverages, and that allows everything to open up. Now, in order for that to continue, obviously, some of those plays must go to Christian McCaffrey. He must make those plays. But for now, obviously, he's a focal point for the defense.
Josh, you use the term shiny new toy. Don't know if you heard Ron Rivera referencing him as a Christmas gift that he was excited to unwrap, and certainly he did that on Sunday. Can you take us back to, if that was a term you used? I know in the draft process you had a lot to say about this guy, just kind of what you thought about him coming out of Stanford, and based on just one game, how much of that do you think can hold true?
Yeah, with McCaffrey, he got pegged, and it might be because of the size or a few other things, that he's mainly just an outside runner. And you know this from watching him all throughout the offseason and even back during his Stanford stuff. All Stanford does is run multiple tight ends with fullbacks and ask their running backs to run between the tackles with patience and vision. He did that very well. And obviously he's at his best one-on-one against linebackers and safeties and corners at that second level or on the outside. You know, I don't mean to start this off with a negative, but what we see with a lot of these running backs and players in general, if they're great at something, people believe that they need to be great at everything. And that's just not the case with Christian McCaffrey. There are so many positives in that column, but is he going to be someone who creates after contact in the mold of a Jonathan Stewart or other backs the Panthers have had in the past? No, but he offers so many skills and traits on the other side that it's interesting and it's fascinating to watch how, again, this offense, we only have a small sample size of one game, but how it will continue to grow. Now, should there be a concern that maybe they are, because, I mean, really, truly, the offense was focused around him.
It was,
game number one. And it's fun, but will that lead to success consistently? Again, small sample size with game one, it worked. Will it do that moving forward? I think that's a question to be asked, but obviously the only positive thing so far.
Yeah, Josh, and I wonder, too, if maybe just especially with what we know about Cam and him understandably needing some time to kind of get back into the rhythm of things, if these first few weeks, Christian is a guy that is a focal point of the offense just because of how much he makes things easier for Cam. I mean, you don't have to have much of a rhythm and timing in your passing offense to get Christian the ball. It's screens, it's short passes, and it's getting the ball to him in creative ways that you don't necessarily have the entire framework of your passing game needing to fire on all cylinders. I don't know if you think that makes any sense, but
well, it's interesting because this running game has always had a foundation of some sort of misdirection.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that used frequently in week one with John Stewart and Christian McCaffrey in the field at the same time and with offensive linemen pulling in either direction. I mean, think about that if you are Reuben Foster, Navarre Bowman at the second level, just seeing, okay, I'm supposed to follow this guard, but he's taking me out of the play. What do I do? That can be used in the passing game as well. And obviously everything wasn't perfect. I mean, there was a period where Christian McCaffrey should have sat in the soft zone and he didn't. At least that's my interpretation of the play, and the pass was incomplete. But even at the end of the second quarter, where I believe it was like 3rd and 15, and it was a simple screen of some sort or dump off to the right side, where then with the ball in his hands and can create in his own, Christian picked up the first down. Again, as of now, we have more to go on than we did in the off season of what evolve meant, what transcending and transitioning the offense into different pass catchers and skill position players. So we had off-season questions. We have fewer questions after week one, but again, there are still questions to see really truly what the identity of this offense is because, you know, a sample size of what, 40 plays, 50 plays just isn't enough.
Josh, I know you have a special place in your heart for the Panthers, but I don't want to presume this because there's 12 games on Sunday. You got a lot going on. Just to ask first, did you watch the Panthers game pretty much beginning to end?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay.
And it's one of those where I have red zone in one corner and then the Panthers game in another.
Right.
I have to, you know, even when there are struggles, I have to at least get to that point where, you know, I shut down internally and say, all right, this one's over. Now, that hasn't happened that often, you know, in the last 3 years.
Right, right.
But I have to, you know,
right.
it's kind of my routine now. Yeah. And in fact, I love it on Sundays when they do have those 4 o'clock games, because in that 1 o'clock window, I just get to enjoy all the rest of the league. And then, you know, one of those 3 or 4 games at that 4 o'clock window is fun to focus on the Panthers. But then I go back and watch the game afterwards anyway.
I got you, because there are only 3 games at 4 o'clock. So I thought probably you did. I'm just curious, you know, the fan in you and the analyst in you, just overall, you know, what did you think about what you saw in week one coming off, obviously, a disappointing season?
You know who I want to bring up? I want to bring up Matt Khalil's name.
There you go.
Because this is, to me, obviously, okay, the health of Luke Kuechly, the health of Cam Newton are the most important storylines, right? And most important parts of the team. But if we go beyond that initial layer of possible questions, the left tackle position, to me, I think a case can be made that Matt Khalil's performance in his first year with the Panthers might be the most pivotal.
Right.
Because we saw last season that without a left tackle, how many things have to get reshuffled? Now, obviously, the depth is better this year, but how much was invested in Matt Khalil? How much is counting on Matt Khalil? And really, after his rookie year, the questions on Matt Khalil. I think Matt Khalil had an amazing first game, a fantastic first game. Now, are the San Francisco 49ers known for their edge-rushing prowess? No, not necessarily, but was he out there showing athletic ability to get to the second level in the Panthers running style and getting to smaller defenders out in space? Yes. Was he able to hold up on his own one-on-one and pass protection, reset and anchor? Yes. It was all positive in that direction. And so, as we know, just two seasons ago, a healthy offensive line for 16 games might be the most important part in creating a successful and consistent offense. And if that happens, having a foundation left tackle, Matt Khalil showed that he's absolutely worth the money in week one and a starting caliber left tackle.
Yeah, this is why we bring Josh on, because he says things that make me sound good, because
right.
I said similar things in the earlier
segment. Exactly.
But thank you, Josh, because that's what I've been saying, is that most of the conversation.
And I had my questions. I absolutely had my questions.
Right.
Now that we know about Matt Khalil, I'm excited to see someone like Curtis Samuel moving forward, who was barely used in week one, who, if we're talking about transitioning the offense, adding Christian McCaffrey is great, but having that slot presence who also can get down the field is drastically needed in an offense that, you know, has two towering wide receivers on the outside who don't possess those same capabilities, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So now that we have the Matt Khalil answer, I'm waiting for that Curtis Samuel answer as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt all along that, well, it's a lot more fun and it gets a lot more attention to talk about the skill position guys and the speed and explosiveness. Really, at the crux of what Carolina had to fix offensively was protecting the quarterback. And I think Matt Khalil's performance in that first game is a great sign of hopefully things to come as far as Carolina is concerned. And look, you know, I talked about Matt Khalil with you before, and I think the book on him pretty much is that he's an athletic guy. That's why he was drafted so highly when he came out of USC, could hold up against those athletic edge rushers, maybe not known quite as much for his run blocking and his power and strength. But to me, I don't know if you caught the same thing. First and 10 from the 1 yard line with 8:48 left in the game, Carolina runs right behind him for 5 yards in a situation where everybody knows they're trying to run it. They're just trying to create breathing room. But he opens up a huge hole for Stewart. And to me, I'm sitting there and that kind of took me back a little bit. I mean, that is a play to me that kind of speaks to really what you maybe were just hoping to see and weren't quite sure you were going to get. But to see that, and as we said, zero sacks on the day. Of course, every offensive line is going to hope for that. But to see all that come together, the offensive line to me is the most encouraging thing that from a Panthers perspective we saw come out of week one.
And if we can just be honest with ourselves for a moment, what the Panthers did when they paid Matt Khalil money to be obviously one of the top paid left tackles in the league, they said, okay, we can fix this guy for what he was the last 3 to 4 seasons. You know, that rookie season was fantastic, but those other ones were not great. And that's a different, and that's a difficult storyline and topic to pitch to a fan base, right? But from everything that we've seen so far, again, small sample size, we think we know everything, but we don't after week one. They have absolutely done that with Matt Khalil, and it's only positive in my opinion.
Josh, I've always wanted to say this. We've only got 30 seconds. I'm kidding. We're on the podcast, but I kind of wanted to do that. So we've only got 30 seconds. Did you the schedule allow you to watch the NFC South competition over the last 2 days, and what were you thinking about the Falcons and Saints?
Yeah, the Falcons were interesting.
15 seconds.
You know, interesting dynamic with the Falcons, and it's difficult. We've seen it in Carolina for years. That having two running backs successfully used is a very, very difficult proposition. And I think they were able to do that once again with Steve Sarkisian, with Kyle Shanahan leaving. And again, we got to watch out for Austin Hooper. He only made 2 catches, but they were spectacular. And we know that the tight end is kind of a featured part of Steve Sarkisian's offense. So that's a name to watch moving forward, absolutely.
Josh, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. We are definitely going to try to get you back here sometime later in the season. But, man, you've set the bar pretty high as far as guests are concerned,
Uh-oh.
I have to say.
Uh-oh. All right, guys. Any time. Right. I really, really appreciate it. And keep up the great work.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Josh Norris, ladies and gentlemen, always brings it. The guy is full of knowledge. And what can I say? I mean, he just hit it right in the head with the offensive line as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And really given some much-due love to Matt Khalil, who, as he mentioned, was a big-time acquisition for this team that hasn't been talked about really that much with all that everything else that's gone on.
Yeah, it's almost like he was listening in to us, but of course we know he was not. So that got a big smile when he talked about Khalil. I will say he didn't get to the Saints. He stuck with the 30 seconds thing. That was pretty cool. Just checking out that game last night, I'll point out as we look forward, a lot of A.J. Klein and Ted Ginn. They seem to be two of the more effective players on the field for the Saints. So that was interesting to see. They're coming up before we know it, Max, week three. But, of course, we have another game coming up before that.
Yeah, we do. We've got a game coming up this week that is an interesting one for sure. Buffalo Bills coming to Bank of America Stadium for Carolina's home opener. And, I mean, where do you even start? I mean, Sean McDermott coming back to the place where he had so much success as defensive coordinator. Brandon Bean coming back to the place where he originally started out as a PR intern and worked his way through the ranks of the front office. Mike Tolbert, always a colorful character, coming back after scoring a touchdown for the Bills, I believe, in their first game. Ron Rivera said it's going to be an emotional week. And I like the fact that he didn't come out and try to dance around that. I mean, it's true. It's going to be an emotional week. A lot of the people coming back here, this place means a lot to them. They mean a lot to the people that they left behind. There's just a lot of relationships built over years of working together and having success and going through struggles, all of that. And so I think this just sets up for an interesting matchup.
Kalen Clay, you didn't mention him, Max. Okay. Remember the preseason impact he made, and you know that's going to be emotional as well.
I did. I mean, Joe Webb is another one.
There you go.
Can't leave Joe out. But yeah, Brian, I guess what do you kind of think and feel heading into this week as we wait to hear from Sean on Wednesday for the conference call and just get ready for this whole week of buildup?
I mean, you know, just as far as like, you know, kind of focusing on the game and how things play out. You know, a lot of talk last week about Kyle Shanahan and, you know, the back and forth between, it's kind of not, you don't know what it's going to be like when he's coaching another team, but you kind of know what he's like as an offensive coordinator, and the Panthers had trouble with that. You know, it's kind of on the other side of the ball, like a different dynamic that we're going to be watching with this is that obviously Sean McDermott kind of knows this Panthers defense just a little bit, and, you know, Steve Wilks certainly has put his own stamp on it, but, you know, it was Sean McDermott's defense, and at the heart of it, it kind of still is, and so how that chess match plays out will be very interesting to see, you know, because I guess technically he kind of created this defense, and he probably knows that there are some weaknesses that he hopes other teams don't exploit, and now he's in a situation where he can try to exploit those.
Yeah, I mean, and look, on the flip side, the Panthers certainly know a lot about Sean and what he likes to do and what his philosophy is. They're not as familiar with his personnel, but that's of course going to be one of the storyline this week, is what these two teams know about each other. Sean was one of the architects of this defense. You know, I imagine for him watching the Panthers play has got to be a little weird
because
he, you know, kind of helped design it and brought up guys like Luke Kuechly and Kawan Short and seeing them out there making plays, and those aren't his guys anymore. And for a guy like Brandon Bean, I mean, he helped build the roster, the guys that they drafted, all of that, and now watching them and they're not his guys anymore. I can only imagine how strange that must be. But as Steve Wilks said, the Panthers are going to do what they do. They're not going to get into a whole thing of we got to change everything because Sean knows and he's going to tell all the Bills players how to be. It's just not how it works. As much as it may seem that way from the outside, the Panthers are going to play their defense. And as Steve Wilks said, it's not about these relationships on the outside. It's about what's going on between the lines. And that's going to sound cliche, but that's really what it is. If you overwhelm the players with all this stuff about what to look for and codes to break, they're not playing as fast as they can be. And I think that's what coaches on both sides want, is them to play fast, play their defense, play their style. All this other stuff is going to make for some good chatter throughout the week, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it always is. There's always connections in this league. Obviously, this is an extreme example, but, you know, this week is an extreme example of that. But we look back to last week and the talk about, Kyle Shanahan has the Panthers' number. You know, what are they going to do here? And the 49ers score 3 points. So it is usually mainly a good pregame topic, but not that often after the game are we talking about, that was really a huge factor, those prior relationships and understandings.
Yeah, I will say I expect that Panthers defense to be highly, highly motivated to show Sean something, though.
That's true.
I mean, don't you think? Look, they wish him well. Everybody was very happy to see Sean live his dream. He wanted to be a head coach in this league. Felt he was ready to be a head coach in this league for a while. Everybody here in Carolina was happy to see him get that chance. But having said that, now that he's on the other sideline, guys like Luke and Thomas, I'm sure they're going to be very polite and quiet all week when we talk to them in the locker room. But you know that after every big play or every big hit, I would imagine they kind of want to just take a quick peek over at Sean's face and let him know that, you know.
But it's still good natured, like you said.
Of course.
Like you can already visualize, you know, Luke just can't wait till after the game to go up to Sean and say, hey, how about that? You know, how'd you like that? So, yeah.
And especially, we see some coaches, players, their families around here. And seeing Sean's family, I mean, you saw a lot of little Luke Kuechly jerseys on his kids. You know, it's just there's a very tight bond built between Sean and Luke, as Luke really the coach on the field for that defense and Sean the coach on the sideline and in the box. So that relationship in particular, I'm curious to see before the game, after the game, and during the game, those potential interactions because of, you know, how closely those guys work together and how motivated both of those two men are to be great.
Yeah, and it's a step up in competition, I feel like, too, to be honest. You know, the Bills look pretty good in week one. I mean, again, they had not the toughest opponent opening with the Jets. But you know, defensively, I mean, it's not going to be easy to move the ball and put points up against this team, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think really where we are with this Panthers offense, it's still going to take some time. I don't think after that week one we sit here and say, okay, they got that first one out of the window. Now they're going to start rolling again. I mean, we still expect that to kind of take some time to settle in. I know you wrote about it in your column after the game, and we've spoken about it on this podcast. Defense is usually a little bit ahead of the curve anyway.
Right.
As we talked about, Sean knows Cam very, very well. I'm sure he'll have a plan devised to kind of try to exploit some weaknesses and take advantage of some things. But Carolina, I think, right now is certainly built to win with its run game and its defense.
Yep.
And I think they can do that this week.
Yeah, and the schedule, you know, sets up nicely for breaking Cam in, so to speak, getting rid of that rust and, you know, being able to rely on this defense, which in week one we saw is certainly something, a winning formula for this team. And, you know, the Bills offensively are kind of a work in progress. Tyrod Taylor certainly showed some things again against the Jets. I think he's kind of underrated, underappreciated in this league. But, you know, LeSean McCoy, certainly a handful, you know, kind of in the Carlos Hyde mold as well. But I just have a feeling that, again, you know, this defense is going to be up to the task against those guys.
Yeah, I mean, defense set a franchise record for points allowed in the an opener with three. That's certainly a pretty good way to start. We'll see if they can keep it rolling in week two against Sean McDermott's Buffalo Bills. Well, thanks again to Josh Norris for joining us on this week's podcast. We will see you all here again next week as we head into week three of the NFL season. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.